Okay. So on the source sheet, I put a number of different pieces from the Kassava Kabbalah, and there's not necessarily a single theme going across them. So the title for the shiur, I just put Parshas Vayetzarech for that reason. So the first three sources are a unit, and they deal with trying to understand who Am Haaretz, who B'nai Chet, and who Ephraim are. So obviously B'nai Chet is fairly obvious. They are the Hittites, the Chittim. However, Am Haaretz isn't 100% clear. So the first two are Rav Hirsch and then the Netziv, kind of from the similar era as the Kassava Kabbalah. And so Rav Hirsch in source 1 says, La'am ha'aretz, k'nirei al derech v'im ha'alim, ha'alim ya'alimu am ha'aretz. This is dealing with somebody giving their child over to the service, to the avoda of Molech. And the Pesukim there describe that if am ha'aretz turn a blind eye to what's happening, it describes what the recourse will be. And there, Shapirushu Einenu Ha'am. Shapirushu Einenu Ha'am. The understanding of Am Ha'aretz here doesn't mean the entirety of the Jewish people. Ele Ha'eda, Metzigo Ta'am. It means the community, the kind of the presentation of the Am, of the nation as a whole. Ha'asifa Ha'musmechet Ha'mitzuva Al Ha'anasha Saposhea. The portion of the community which is responsible for punishing those who commit averos, commit crimes, whatever it will be it based in or some other body. Afkan nitzigei hakahal. So also in our parsha here in Chayei Sara, laham aretz, it means the kind of the city council, the communal council. Amus Machim Learshos Nachri Liknos Ahuzas Karka, who have authority to permit a foreigner, a non-citizen, to buy a portion of land, to buy an actual land rights. The Fize Ye Pirush Libineches, Bishvil Bineches, Ha Sifa Miyatzeges as Klalha Choloseha. For the sake of B'nai Ches, this Am Haaretz, where the gathering which represent the entirety of the population. On the other hand, the Netziv in Source 2 says, Am Haaretz hayu rabim. Ach mishpachas B'nai Ches hayu manhigei ayir. There were, Am Haaretz were many, were multiple, were a great number of people. And if you actually looked in the second line, La'am ha'aretz, L'chalal ha'ir, it means the entirety of the city, the entire population, which he's understanding as being multinational. Ach mishpachas b'nei ches, however, the specific kind of tribe, family of b'nei ches, hayu manhige ha'ir, they had the actual control over the area, it was their land. V'gam Ephron hayu mehem, and Ephron was a chiti. Al ken hayi divara, therefore, Avram goes to B'nai Ches and speaks to them because they're the ones in control. Fine. Now, the interesting thing here is that seems to fit in nicely because it says Ephron Achiti. However, I'll put on the website here on YU Torah an article that I wrote based on a piece from Rav Avram Korman in his Sefer Ha'avos Vashvatim, where he argues that Ephron was, in fact, not only was he not the head of this city council as Chazal understood, and that's quoted by Rashi, we'll see that in a moment, but he was, in fact, not a Chiti at all. He himself was a foreigner, a non-citizen, just like Avraham. And Rav Korman delves into that and tries to prove that position. However, Kassava Kabbalah in Source 3 presents first Rashi. Ksiv Chaser, Oso Hayom, Manohu, Shoter Aleichem. On that very day, Ephron was appointed as the head of the council. And now the next chunk up until line 9, where you have in parentheses Rava, which is Rav Wolf Heidenheim, who is best known for printing a Yamim Narayim Machzor set, also in the mid-1800s, which led to a significant copyright dispute between him and the government, because the government itself actually subsequently reprinted the Machzor, which went against his wishes, and some of the Haskamos printed in his Machzor. And the Chasam Sofer gets involved. It's a very interesting story. He's best known for that. He also has comments, obviously, on the Torah. So he writes, Kashitik Dakdek, Timsa Shibakal Makam Shomar Akasu Ploni Yoshe Bisilcha Am, Ubisilcha Kahal, Vaeda Ukadome, Haratzam Balolam Shahaya Noheg Sarara Benehem. So anytime you see Yoshe Bisilch, that there, the intent is that it means that they have authority. And this is why it also uses the word toch in conjunction with the word yoshev. Shemora al emtos hadavar shu hamakom anichbad kalev beemtza haguf. Toch comes along with the word yoshev because it implies in the midst, in the middle, just like the heart is in the middle of the body, and it is the most, he doesn't say the most, but it is a very significant part of the body. So too, this leader is a significant part of the population. So he's significant and has authority. And now he brings the first of a number of proofs. We're not going to go through all of them, but this one, in Yirmiyahu Chaftes, Yirmiyahu writes a letter to the Gola, to the exile. And he references Shemaiah, who was a false prophet and gave the nation false hope. And he says, you are not going to be Yoshe B'socha Amazay going forward. You and your descendants, Lo Ye Lo Ish. Now the Rava understands this as follows. Petrono Shelo Yatza Mizaro Isha Noheg Ben Nisius Ba'am. You will not have any descendants who will have authority or leadership roles within Am Yisrael going forward because of your actions. Which is interesting, saying you gave false hope, and now none of your descendants in turn will have an opportunity, I guess, to kind of rectify that by giving true hope. That seems to be what he's hinting at or stating. However, it doesn't seem like a very strong proof, because none of the Mefarshim say this. The classic Mefarshim, the Targum Yonasan, they all seem to understand it just quite simply as it seems to be on the surface of things, that it's, you're going to be cut off. You're not going to be a part of the Jewish people anymore. Lo ye lo ish, there will be nobody, Yoshe b'socha amazeh, amongst us anymore. Fine. And one thing, this is a re-recording, one thing we noted in Shir was that it's, I don't remember who said this off the top of my head right now, but that the Rava was focused on Yoshev Besoch. He's looking for any time where it says those two words connected together. However, if we go down to line 9, starting with Uva Emes, this is the Ksav Kabbalah himself speaking, Vemes Gam Lashon Yeshiva Levad, Yora Al Hismanus Lashofet Ulmelech Kamo Yeshev al kisei David Avi, v'ata Hashem la'olam teisha, she yeshiva b'zei yora yeshivas memshala u'mishpat. He is not focused on having that connection of Yoshev b'soch. He just says even yeshiva itself on its own can mean being appointed as a judge or a king, some sort of clear position of authority. Ki kisei amelucha v'kisei amishpat echad. Kingship and judgment are categorically identical. V'al shnehem namar yoshev, and they both have the word yoshev used in conjunction with them. The yoshev al amishpat and Yeshayahu. And then one of the more familiar examples is from Parshas Yisro. Excuse me. V'yoshev Moshe lishpot es ha'am, where Moshe you understand it literally, he sits down to, as his kind of the, as the Dion, and he goes to adjudicate any cases that come to him from Klal Yisrael. So there, obviously, we don't need the Pesukim, the Torah, to tell us that Moshe Rabbeinu literally sat down in a chair. Presumably, means exactly like the Kazav Kabbalah is using this as a proof that he entered into that position of authority. L'chen al velot Yoshe b'shar Sodom Amar Raza. And so too, we have the idea from Chazal that when Lot, with the Pesukim described that Lot, Yoshev b'shar Sodom, Chazal, understand that as Minu, Shofet Elayhim, that they appointed him as a judge upon them. And where did they get that from? Yoshev. In there, it's interesting because it's b'shar, and that we'll see later on in the Torah, Shoftim v'shotkim titein b'shar recha. That there's a clear connection with Shar and justice and judgment and courts. Right, so that's the first piece that we saw in Shir. The next piece is talking about love on emptying out, clearing out the house in preparation for Eliezer. It says, Penisia Bais, and Avodas et Lilim, as Rashi Merchazal states. However, near Eshiyatza Lehem Ken Midulo Amar Biarti Abayis. It doesn't say Biarti. And the Ksavu Gabbala thinks he's trying to explain where in the world we got Avodah Zarah from, because the context here doesn't necessarily have anything to do with Avodah Zarah. It's just, you're traveling, I cleared a space for you. Maybe I moved something I was storing in the room. Maybe there was hay, or who knows, whatever there was. And so it says, Panisia Bais, I cleared it out, versus Biarti, Bior, in terms of Biarti Abayis, mean is in the context of various different types of Truma in Meiser. There, one might think that Bior means destruction, but it really means I've taken it out of my domain and gotten rid of it. It's no longer in my reshus, in my possession whatsoever. Kamo Biarti HaKodesh Min Abayis. Va'amar lashon penisi asher b'kol makom bo b'lashon kaved yore ala mifnei m'makomo davar shehu mukash amazik u'matzaras adam. And it says here the language of penisi, which in all places refers or teaches us or communicates the idea of somebody moving an object from its original place. Which is either dangerous, hamazik, umetzar, or is bothersome to a person. Kamo solo solo panudar harimu michshol in Yeshayahu perek nun zayin ukedama lezei. Just like there, we're not talking about literally destroying any figurative or literal rocks on a road. It's moving them out of the way, panu, move them out of the way so they no longer cause us to stumble. Davar Lioso Eved Avram, and the reason for this is that the servant of Avram, i.e. Eliezer, Asher Nisparsim Chrazoso Bevitol Deos Avodas of the Gelulim, who through Avraham's mission of spreading monotheism, which obviously was a family task, it's not Avram on his own, it's the entire family, Avram, Sarah, and everyone involved with him as well, Eliezer, as a Nefesh Asher Asu Becharon. Ein lecha davar hamukash hamitzaru kamo liosum is gorer becheder melo gelulim. Excuse me, malay gelulim. And there would be nothing more troublesome, more painful, more disturbing for Eliezer and anyone else within Avram and Sarah's community than to be in a room, to be staying over in a room filled with idols. And therefore it says, Penisi, because he removed them, didn't necessarily destroy them. And that's where Chazal understood that it was referring to Avodas Elilim. The next piece on the back is really, it's two pieces, 5 and 6, talking about Lesuach Vasadeh, which we classically understand as being tefillah. So, Suach, LaRashap, who's Rashap Shlomo Pappenheim, another one of the well-known Rabbanim at that time, Megzera Sach Usach, either with a sin or a samech, Shanachata al ha'ataka v'ishtanos inyan, which really communicates moving or changing. Kamo v'nesachtam me'al ha'adama, and you will be removed from the land, referring to, this is in Devarim Chavches, Pasuk Samech Gimel, referring to Kol Yisrael potentially, God forbid, being kicked off of Eretz Yisrael. Mishmeres Habayis Masach, in Malachim Beis, Kolomer Hasach Dato Mina Shmira. V'lashon Chachmeinu Hesech Das, Hadas. And the same thing, the same usage of this word is found in Chazal, not just in Mikra, the classic phrase of Hesech Hadas, where, meaning to say, you kind of had a interruption of your thoughts. Your thoughts wandered. Messiah lefi tumo, or somebody who is speaking according to his, they're just speaking honestly without any nefarious intentions. They're meaning to say that they've removed, or they are removed or separate from the issue which we are dealing with. It comes up in Kashrus where I want to know, does something taste like it has, does this piece of meat, rather, it tastes like it has milk on it? And I can ask somebody who presumably is an expert in this, and if they don't know that I'm talking about kashrus, so that I'm worried about the kashrus, about the halacha, they could potentially be considered mesiach lefi tuma. They are separate from my context of halacha, and they are just speaking from their honest opinion. They're not trying to give me the answer I want to hear. V'nigzar mzeh shem siach laharos ha'esek ha'naseh shelo l'shem ha'esek atmo, rach lifnos hadas v'atik ha'rayon ha'kaved alav. And that's why we have the idea of siach. It teaches that you're doing something to get your mind away from something else, and to remove thoughts or what have you that are weighing upon you. Umzeya inyan kan l'soach b'sadeh pirush l'asos esek b'tiul al asadeh kedei lifnos machshavto mina esek ha'yomi. And this is what Yitzchak is doing here. He's out taking a tiul in the field. He's going for a walk to clear his mind from what happened in the day, from business, whatever it is. And that's where we can get a connection to Dibor. That the Dibor is something that can helps you spiritually. I will speak about the bitterness that I'm experiencing within my soul, and that will be a release. All these cases that he's quoting from Mikra are examples where you have something, you have specifically Dibor, something is being said in order to kind of take that burden, the internal burden, off of the speaker. And to kind of take that burden off, to take it from within oneself, and to remove that burden because of your constant iuno botamid, your constant looking into it, your constant your thoughts haven't wandered from it at all. You're constantly focused on it. And that's where Chazal understood that it's tefillah, that we all have things within us. We have burdens, we have worries, etc., desires, wishes, dreams, and we can take that from within and take it and express it outwardly to Hashem through tefillah. And that's, according to the Ksafa Gabbala, what Chazal saw within L'soach V'sadeh as being a hint to tefillah. And just quickly, in source 6, this is from the introduction to Iyun Tefillah, the Petach Dvarim for Iyun Tefillah. Iyun Tefillah is, originally it started out as just personal notes that Rav Mecklenburg wrote to himself, for himself, whenever he writes, that whenever I would find something that helped me understand the words of the Siddur more clearly, I would write it down, and I just compiled it all together and kept it for myself. I had no intention of printing it. And then at some point, he changed his mind and realized that, you know, it's going to be helpful for other people, so he printed it as Ion Tefila. It's not so easy to find. There's a recent printing by Mosad Rav Cook of Ion Tefila that is available on Otsar. And he writes as follows, Da, Kishem Tefila Pishnaim Horaso. The term, the name Tefila, has two meanings. Inyan Tchina Uvakasha, the idea of petition and request, as well as Inyan Shevach Utehila, in the idea of exaltation and praise. Vinyanu HaRishon Chua Tchina Uvakasha Einze Ikor HaRaso. The idea, or the meaning of it being Tchina of petition and requesting things, is not actually its primary meaning. Kishem Tfili Nigzar Meshem Palel Pei Lamed Lamed. Sheikar Shorasho Shte Osios Pei Lamed Asher Batosefes Hey. The name Tefila comes from the root Pei Lamed Lamed, which itself is fundamentally Pei Lamed. And when you add on a Hey to the Pei Lamed, making it Pei Lamed Hey, it becomes Inyano Habdala Hafrasha Uvereira. It becomes separation, Hafrasha meaning. An overera, kind of clarification. I'm separating out things, one specific item from a group of items. Kamofi Flesi Biyamahu as Eretz Goshen. We talk about Hashem describes that I've separated out Eretz Goshen. I've set it apart for the Jewish people in Eretz Mitzrayim. It's separate and distinct from the rest of Eretz Mitzrayim. And so when you have two things which are opposites are presented to you, when you have two things, opposites, that come before you and you make a decision and you choose A over B or B over A, that moment of decision making, that hachra, the actual decision itself, he says the lashon palal, this of brera, etc., refers to that moment. Hine me'inyan palal amore al hizdakakus ladon ulasos psak nigzar shem tefila. And this idea of kind of entering into that phase, that moment, is tefila. And Yirtzebo, meaning to say, Bakashus Adam Miboro Shiyase Pelila Bein HaAdam HaMevakesh Ubein HaMa'aracha Mezalo HaGurua Shu Tzad Shekinekdo. What exactly is the decision? We are going before Boro, we are going before Hashem and requesting that Hashem should undertake this Pelila. He should, quote-unquote, decide between the person making the request, Adam HaMevakesh, and the lowly nature, Hamaracha, Mazalo, Hagrua, Shuitzad Shekinega. I have kind of the person that I am, my Yetzahara, my habits, etc., and I want to change. And so my request is that Hashem should kind of adjudicate between my dreams, my wants, my desires, and my current nature, my current existence. Take care.